Imagine owning a teapot that's completely unusable. Handle and spout on the same side, yet you cherish it deeply. This paradox sparked Donald Norman's exploration into why we form emotional connections with everyday objects. His collection includes an unusable teapot, a beautiful Michael Braves design, and an ingeniously engineered brewing vessel. Yet, despite owning these masterpieces, he typically uses a simple brewing ball while displaying the teapots as art that brightens his day. This contradiction reveals a profound truth. Our relationship with objects extends far beyond functionality. The science behind this emotional connection is surprisingly concrete. When Israeli scientist Noam Traktinsky investigated why aesthetically pleasing ATMs were perceived as more functional despite identical operations, he discovered that positive emotions fundamentally change how our brains work. Psychologist Alice Eisen's research confirmed that people in good moods think more creatively and solve problems more effectively. Even small mood enhancers, like receiving a modest gift or watching comedy, significantly improve problem-solving abilities. When we feel good, we explore more alternatives and become more tolerant of minor difficulties. This explains why attractive products genuinely work better for us. They put us in positive emotional states that enhance our cognitive abilities. The connection between beauty and function isn't just perception, it's neurochemistry. Our emotional responses to objects operate through three distinct processing levels: visceral, making rapid judgments without conscious thought; behavioral, controlling everyday actions and skilled behaviors; and reflective, enabling conscious thought, learning, and communication. Each level produces different pleasures: visceral thrills, behavioral satisfaction from skilled use, and reflective enjoyment from contemplation. The interactions between levels create fascinating experiences, like enjoying a roller coaster where visceral fear competes with reflective pride in conquering that fear. These levels influence each other through neurochemicals. Negative emotions narrow focus, while positive emotions broaden thinking and increase receptivity. Consequently, relaxed users are more creative and forgiving of minor problems, while stressful situations demand designs with clear feedback and minimal complexity. Mechanical drawing instruments demonstrate this interplay. Their beautiful stainless steel construction and leather cases creates immediate visceral appeal. Yet reflection often reveals memories of frustration with slipping points and messy ink, showing how different emotional levels can conflict. True emotional connections develop through sustained interaction and personal associations, not just appearance or utility. Souvenirs function as memory aids that evoke emotional meaning. While design often links emotion with beauty, people become attached to things based on personal experiences, making it reasonable to love something ugly or dislike something conventionally attractive. Researchers Csikszentmihalyi and Rochberg-Halton found that special objects are those with meaningful associations. What matters isn't the object itself, but the story it evokes. Like the woman who cherished her chairs because they reminded her of sitting with babies. We become attached to things that recall pleasant moments. Our self-image influences our relationship with products, even for those claiming indifference to others' opinions. How we dress and what we possess serve as public expressions of ourselves. Building positive self-image often comes through accomplishment. Heathkit Company's electronic kits gave builders pride not from saving money, but from the achievement they represented. Similarly, Betty Crocker discovered that cake mixes needed users to add an egg to create a sense of accomplishment and connection. Visceral design taps into our evolutionary preferences. Humans instinctively interpret emotional signals from our environment. Our attraction to symmetry, bright colors, sweet tastes, and rounded forms evolved from survival advantages. These responses occur within milliseconds before conscious thought. Premium bottled water demonstrates this principle perfectly. Despite often being identical to tap water, brands like Fiji Water and Voss succeed through distinctive bottles and pristine imagery that create such powerful visceral reactions that people keep empty ones as decorative objects. This influence extends beyond aesthetics to behavior. Research shows viscerally appealing products are perceived as more valuable, reliable, and easier to use. This aesthetic usability effect reveals how primitive responses to visual beauty shape our entire experience with products. While visceral design concerns appearance, behavioral design focuses on use and performance through function, understandability, usability, and physical feel. Function must come first. If a product doesn't fulfill its purpose, nothing else matters. Determining true user needs requires observing them in natural environments. Many designers fail by adding unnecessary features without understanding usage patterns. This feature creep results in overcomplicated products that frustrate users. Good behavioral design comes from observing users' struggles and recognizing problems people don't even identify as design issues. The OXO vegetable peeler revolutionized kitchen tools by considering arthritis sufferers, while the screw-pull wine opener demonstrates how behavioral design creates satisfaction through effective use rather than appearance. These products succeed because they work exceptionally well. Behavioral design requires aligning controls with effects, providing appropriate feedback, and ensuring the product's conceptual model matches users' expectations. When these elements align, using a product becomes intuitive, creating satisfaction through skilled interaction. Our tendency to anthropomorphize objects reveals a fundamental aspect of human psychology. When we see a chair that appears to be retrieving a ball, we interpret this emotionally, despite knowing it isn't alive, a reaction stemming from our evolutionary heritage as social creatures. Computer rage exemplifies this phenomenon. When technology fails despite our correct actions, our reflective mind blames the computer while our emotions escalate to rage. Our anger is justified. Modern devices violate trust through mysterious operations and failures without apology. Trust develops through consistent reliability and performance matching expectations. One user describes their emotional attachment to a chef's knife. "This object is my friend." The knife never slips or fails, regardless of pressure. It's completely trustworthy. A good conceptual model with appropriate feedback establishes trust. Consider a car's fuel gauge. If it accurately warns before emptying, you blame yourself when ignoring warnings. If it fluctuates unpredictably, you can't trust it. Most drivers test their gauges over time, as trust must be earned through consistent performance. A space can only be made into a place by its occupants. The best that the designer can do is put the tools into their hands. We all become designers when arranging objects, transforming anonymous spaces into homes, and things into belongings. Mass-produced objects rarely acquire personal meaning because truly personal attributes can't be pre-designed. Manufacturers offer superficial customization through color choices or accessories, but these seldom create emotional connections. True personalization emerges through use and history. Objects change, pots get banged, furniture acquires dents, books show wear. These marks create stories that transform generic products into personal possessions. The ideal is designing things that age gracefully, where marks of use add character rather than detract from value, like jeans naturally fading to reveal a wallet's outline. Love develops when something gives pleasure, becomes part of our lives, and helps define our place in society. The most cherished objects aren't just things we use, they're extensions of ourselves, carrying our stories and reflecting who we are.